Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the MLB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy here, Cole Shelton, to break down UFC 246. And I'm excited about breaking down this card with you, Cole. Kind of crept up on us, man. It feels like there's not that much buzz about this card. Before we get into the card, I just want to hear your thoughts on that, because I saw your tweet yesterday, and I was kind of feeling the same way. Like, Conor McGregor's fighting, but it doesn't feel like there's that crazy buzz like there usually is for a Conor fight. Just give me your thoughts on that, man.
Yeah, because I tweeted yesterday, I'm like, this probably has to be one of the least hyped up McGregor fight weeks. Like, it's quite stunning. Like, I woke up yesterday, I'm like, oh, it's fight week. I'm like, it feels like this is what it feels like when you're a month away from a McGregor card. Like, you're just starting to feel like, oh, he's about to return, he's about to fight. Like, when McGregor fights, all my friends will text me, be like, where are we watching this? Like, let's have it at your house. Like, we'll organize all this stuff. Like, they all want to go see McGregor fight. Even, like, my brother's friends will do the same thing. He's like, oh, is Cole having people over to watch McGregor fight? This time, literally, my one friend is an MMA fan. That's the only person who said, where are we watching this? Like, it doesn't seem like it's even captured the attention of the casual fans. It seems like it kind of got buried by the holidays and just, like, being booked on so short notice. No press conferences. Like, I know they have one on Wednesday, but, like, maybe that will build up the anticipation. But right now, to me, there hasn't been much hype for this event.
I agree with everything you just said. You know, I just wrote an article. It's at MA Ratings on net. And I made pretty much the same point. I think the press conference on Wednesday is going to change a lot. I think it's going to get people a little bit more hype. But right now, it just feels like this card is flying under the radar, which is crazy because it's Conor McGregor's return. But my argument, Cole, is that the guys who want to fight since 2016, you know, people want to see guys win fights. And I feel like Conor's going to risk losing relevancy, especially if he loses. He's in big trouble. Like, look at Ronda Rousey. Fans turned on her as soon as she lost, Cole. When she lost two times in a row, she was done. So, not saying Conor's done by any means. I think he's got a lot left in his tank, and he looks like he's in phenomenal shape for this fight. But he's got to win, Cole. He has to absolutely win this fight. If he loses, there's not many options for him. If he wins, though, there's a lot of options. Anyways, as far as the card goes, you know, it's a pretty good card. I wouldn't say it's the best card of the year, but it is Conor McGregor card, so we'll all be watching it, obviously. As always, we'll be breaking down the entire card from bottom to top. Let's get right into it. Start with the opening card bout on the preliminary card. It is a women's flyweight bout between Sabina Mazo and JJ Aldrich. The current odds have JJ Aldrich as a slight favorite. And I should mention, we're doing it at 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning Eastern time, so that's when the odds are taken from. JJ Aldrich, a slight minus 115 favorite. Sabina Mazo, a slight minus 105 underdog. Break down the fight, Cole.
Yeah, this fight, it opens up, like, this card, it's a class Conor McGregor card. You're not going to have a lot of huge names. You're going to have a lot of prospects they're trying to build. They have a lot of eyes on this card. And you have a lot of close matchups. This matchup, I think, might be one of the closest on the card. They're both been sort of inconsistent. They both had their problems in the UFC. Like, Sabina Mazo's UFC debut, she was really hyped coming from LFA, and she didn't really perform. JJ Aldrich had that knockout loss to Macy Barber. She had the loss to Juliana Lima. She looked good on top until she ran into Tatiana Suarez. I'll favor JJ Aldrich slightly here. I just think her striking and her strength is a bit better. She's fought better competition. The Lauren Mueller win was really impressive to me. And Mazo just, I haven't been too impressed. She beat Shayna Dobson. And I don't think Dobson's UFC caliber. And Dobson had a few, like, it was a dominating performance for Mazo. But to me, I just think JJ Aldrich is the better fighter. Will edge out a decision win.
You know, quite frankly, I haven't been impressed with either fighter that much. Aldrich does have more experience, like you said, Cole. She's got more fights in the UFC, 4-2 record. Mazo's only 1-1. I do favor Mazo a little bit, though. She is younger by 5 years. She's only 22 years old. Trains at a great camp, by the way, in Kings MMA. And the other thing I like about her is the striking. I do think she has a better striking in this fight, and I do think that'll be the difference. The Moroz fight in her debut, not a good performance. I think the jitters got to her, but the Dobson fight, a little better. I just think we haven't seen the best of her yet. Aldrich is a decent fighter. She actually trains at a good camp, too, at 303, but you know, overall, I just feel like the striking is the difference in this fight. If Aldrich does elect to go to maybe a wrestling-heavy game plan, I think that'd be the way she will win this. Because if it does stay in the feet, I think Mazo just a little bit longer and just a little bit more technical with her strikes. And I do think she'd be able to win a decision. So my pick's Mazo as a slight underdog here. I wouldn't bet on this fight, though. I do think it's a close fight. I think it can go either way. But my slight lean is Sabina Mazo to win by decision. And the next fight, we have a men's bantamweight bout between Oday Osborne and Brian Kelleher. The current odds are Osborne minus 140, Kelleher plus 120. Who do you got here, Cole?
Yeah, this is a really interesting fight because obviously Brian Kelleher is a veteran. He's fought a lot of tough guys. He's fought John Lineker. He beat Rehan Barao. He's fought Marlon Vera. He's been in the UFC for a while. Even when he wasn't in the UFC, he had two fights over Julia Arce. He fought Andre Sukumtoff. Like, he fought a lot of tough guys going up in the regional scene. Jorge Osborne had a really good submission win on the Contender Series getting to the UFC. He hasn't fought a lot of tough guys. It's going to be interesting to see just how good he is. But from what I saw in the Contender Series, I like Jorge Osborne here. This is just more fading Brian Kelleher. I'm not really high on Kelleher. I think Osborne might be able to – I think on the ground they're similar, but I think Osborne is better on the ground than striking-wise. I think Osborne – he's just a younger, just fresher fighter, and I just have to go with Osborne. I'm not sure if he'll be able to finish Kelleher, but I think if Kelleher loses, I think this is it for him in the UFC.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. Honestly, I think this could be a potential betting opportunity because I do like Osborne quite a bit in this fight, Cole, and it is a fan of Brian Kelleher. You know, he has looked good at times in the UFC. He's had a couple of good performances, like Yuri Alcantara, he looked good there in the Burrell fight as well. But you know, the last couple of fights hasn't looked too great, taken quite a bit of damage. Like you said, 33 years old, so he's getting up there in age. For a bantamweight, that's a little bit on the older side. I don't know. I feel like, you know, Brian's a decent fighter, don't get me wrong, but I feel like he's kind of looking ahead now. He's doing all these podcasts and stuff. I feel like he's looking ahead at the next portion of his career and his journey in the sport. I just think that Osborne's picking him, going to fight him at a good time, and I think he can pick up the win here. Osborne has looked really good lately, 4 straight wins. Looked really good in the Contender Series last summer, Cole, getting that armbar finish. Obviously, his level of competition is not even close to Brian Kelleher's, but it's a fade on Kelleher, and I'm just pretty high on this kid, Osborne. I do think he wins this fight. So my pick's Jorge Osborne. I think he probably does win by decision. Could finish the fight, possibly, by submission maybe, but most likely going to be a decision here. And at minus 140, honestly, I think he could be someone you could bet. So definitely take a look at Osborne because he's a potential bet for us. Next up, we got a flyweight bout between Askar Askarov and Tim Elliott. Current odds have Askarov minus 135, Elliott plus 115. Who's your pick?
I'm going at the Askarov here. I just was really impressed with his Moreno fight. That was a really good UFC debut. He was really hyped up. Tim Elliott coming off that long layoff, and he lost Stevenson Figueroa by submission. He didn't show a whole lot in that fight that I liked. And I talked to him before the fight, and he basically said his mouth guard got kind of caught in the back of the throat, and that's why he shot, and that's why he got caught in the submission. It was kind of a panic tap. He said if he wishes he would have took time and kind of fixed himself, but he's had a lot of injuries in his career. He's had a long layoff. This is a quick return for him. I think he's training with Joe Benavidez now, which helps a lot. So I think that's going to help him, but I just think Askarov's a better fighter. His wrestling is impressive. The Moreno fight, his striking is impressive. I think Askarov's going to get a decision win here.
So Tim's at Team Alpha Male then, or?
No, he just said at the PI, him and Benavidez have been working.
Okay. Cool. It's a close fight. I think Elliott, you know, he's underrated at times because he does have really good wrestling and an amazing gas tank, great cardio. But, man, he gets caught in a lot of submissions, Cole. And that really worries me here because Askarov is a master of submissions. The Moreno fight was a great fight, super close. I would have liked to have seen a rematch, by the way. That would have been a good rematch because that fight was really close. Could have went either way, and they went to a draw. Excuse me. You know, his submission game, though, is, to me, the difference here. Look at his record. He's got tons of submissions, including a twister. This fight goes to the ground. I just have to favor Askarov. I do favor him here. Minus 135, you know, not bad. I haven't decided. I wouldn't say necessarily he's a play, but he's definitely someone to consider for a play, I think, because I do believe he has a big advantage, especially if he gets in top position. But even if he's on the bottom, I think he can catch a guillotine on Tim Elliott, who just seems to be caught in submissions all over the place, Cole, and that's his biggest flaw in his game. So my pick's Askarov by submission. Actually, the prop on that, I'm assuming you favor that as well by submission.
Yeah.
Plus 240. So that's something to keep in mind because I think that's the most likely way he'd win this fight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be decision or submission. I don't think he'll be able to knock out Elliott.
I doubt that either. Elliott's got a really good chin. And it's flyweight too. Next up, light heavyweight bout, Alexa Kimmerer, the prospect against Justin Ledet here. Current odds have Justin Ledet, or Alexa Kimmerer is the favorite, minus 120. Justin Ledet plus 100. Who's your pick?
I'm going Alexa Kimmerer. This is just a pure fade on Justin Ledet. He's coming off 2 straight knockout losses. Johnny Walker in 15 seconds. It was a decision against Rakic. But
yep.
15 seconds right off the bat, Johnny Walker. Even in his wins in the UFC, I haven't been impressed. He beat Azana Inoue by split, Mark Godbeer by decision, and by submission, and Chase Sherman by decision. He hasn't fought any. Like, his wins aren't top guys. All those guys are no longer in the UFC. He had mixed results in the Contender Series. He was kind of hurt, and then he came back and won. Trains Stipe Miocic, comes from a good camp. Just training Stipe helps a lot. I think Kimmerer will get the job done. He might even be able to knock out Ledet.
Yeah, it's a fade on Ledet for me as well. Yeah, I was pretty impressed with him coming into the UFC. Look, in his first few fights, he looked really good. Chase Sherman fight looked amazing. really good jab, good boxing, and then submission against Godbeer. And then since then, I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know if it was a camp change or why. Like, loss of confidence. He just has not looked like the same guy. He barely got by Azuna Anyanwu, who's, like, been cut from the UFC. He's in Bellator now. He's losing there. And then the Rakic and Walker. I mean, listen, those guys are good. Don't get me wrong. But he just wasn't really competitive in those fights. Kimber, obviously, he's making his debut here. But like you said, Cole, trains with Stipe. He looked okay in the contender series, and he's got a lot of knockout power. I like Kimber here, you know. Again, you know, close odds. A lot of these fights are really close odds, so there's better opportunities on this card. It's a light heavy belt, so you never really know. It could be someone getting knocked out here, but I do favor Kimber. Probably gets a finish call by punches, but possibly a decision as well. I do like Kimber to get the win here, though. Next up, we have a featherweight belt between Chaz Skelly and Grant Dawson. The current odds have Grant Dawson as a pretty big favorite here, -265, and Chaz Skelly, the scrapper, +225. Who's your pick?
I'm going Grant Dawson. I think Grant Dawson can even submit Chaz Skelly. We've seen Chaz Skelly get submitted before. Grant Dawson, I'm really high on. I think he's one of the top prospects at featherweight. That submission over Mike Trezano, who won the Ultimate Fighter, was undefeated at the time. That was really impressive. Win over Julian Arosa, that was a good win. Dawson, I think, has all the tools. He's obviously, his ground game is his bread and butter. That's where he's good at, but in the past two UFC fights, he's looked really impressive striking-wise, too. I think he can, even if this fight stays standing, I think he can be the better striker against Chaz Skelly. Skelly's a kind of guy, he's a tough guy to finish. He's a durable guy, but I think Grant Dawson can get a win here and probably even submit him.
I like Dawson, too. You know, I'm really high on this kid. He's looked really good lately. Two wins in the UFC, Trezano and Arosa. And the Trezano win was great. I mean, submitting that guy is really impressive. Chaz Skelly has a lot of experience in the UFC, but pretty consistent as of late. I know he did win his last fight. It was a war. It was a good fight with Griffin, but before that, he lost two straight fights, and he's been submitted a few times in his career. Actually, he's just been submitted once, but I don't know. I can't forget that Moffitt submission. Like, I don't know. That kind of worries me here against Dawson, who's really good in the ground call. I'm kind of with you. I kind of feel like Dawson's going to get the submission here. So I like Grant Dawson in this fight quite a bit, actually. Obviously, he's one of the bigger favorites on this card, but for good reason. And Dawson by submission, +295, Cole. I think there's value on that. I do think he probably finishes this fight on the ground, so that'd be my pick for this one. Next up, lightweight belt, Nazareth Hackprost against Drew Dober. Currently, Hackprost, another big favorite here, -325. Dober, +265. Who's your pick?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Drew Dober's where he loses all the time is on the ground getting submitted. He was submitted by Benil Dariush, OAM. Afron Escardo, like that's where he loses. He's never been knocked out before, and Nasrat Hackpress is a knockout artist. He's not a guy that's going to submit you, so it's going to be interesting to see if he can knock out Dober. Dober's a tough guy, but I think even if he can't knock it, I think Hackpress is going to win. I think he's the better striker. He's a good prospect coming up. I just think he'll be able to pick apart Dober, but Dober's a tough guy where he might be able to pull it off and get an upset win, but I'd pick Hackpress. Maybe by late finish be a ground pound, but probably decision, I'd say.
I like Hackpress a lot. Honestly, I think the odds could be higher here on him. I think he has a big advantage in this fight with the striking. Dober is a tough dude for sure. His chin is really good. Very hard to finish. Ground game is not very good. He's been submitted a bunch of times. I don't think the fight's going to go to the ground. I think it stays on the feet. But I still give Hackpress a really big advantage on the feet, Cole. I think he can knock out Dober or possibly just win a decision. I mean, it's hard to say. Dober, like I said, has a great chin. Very hard to finish. But I just think Hackpress is going to be peppering this guy with shots all night. And it could be the fight where Dober's chin finally breaks. But either way, I like Hackpress, man. -325, yeah, it might seem high compared to some of the other odds. I don't think so. I think it could be -500 here, guys. I really do. So I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think there could be value on him at -325. You know, especially if you're like a parlay guy and want to put, you know, maybe two or three guys together. This is someone to look at. So give me Hackpress, man. I think he wins this fight pretty dominantly. And, you know, this kid is pretty close, I think, to getting in the top 15. He's a good fighter. Next up, really exciting featherweight bout here, Cole, between Andre Feely and Sodiq Youssef. Love this fight. And right now, the odds are really close. Sodiq Youssef, -130. Andre Feely, touchy, +110. Give me your pick.
I'm going Sodiq Youssef. I'm really high on Sodiq Youssef as a prospect. I think he can be a real legitimate title contender and the top 10 guy probably by the end of this year, top 5 guy by the end of this year. Andre Feely, he's really turned his career on. He's looked good in his last two fights, the knockout over Shane Moraes and the decision over Michael Jury. He's a guy that's had mixed results. He lost to Michael Johnson, lost to Kelvin Kattar, knocked up Yair Rodriguez. He's been in the UFC for so long for being only 29. It feels like he's been in the UFC for like 10, 12 years. It's been a while. Sodiq Youssef is that up-and-comer. They're putting him on these cards for a reason. They put him on the main card at 241 to look good. Now they're putting on a McGregor pay-per-view. I think the UFC would prefer he wins to set him up. I think he has a good story behind him. he's a markable guy, and I think he'll get a job done. I don't think he'll be able to knock out Fury. Fury's a tough guy, so I think he'll edge out a decision.
I think he might be the best bet in the card. -130, you got to go with Sony Houston here, Cole. You know, there's big value on him. He's the better fighter. You know, Andre Fili's good. He's really good. I really like Andre Fili, and he's experienced and he's dangerous. But Sony Youssef has, you know, the it factor, in my opinion. I think this kid could be a potential contender at 145, you know, by the end of the year. I think he is that good. He's looked great in the UFC. He's awesome. So -130, Cole, that's a bet right there, in my opinion. I do think he's the better fighter. I think he's the better striker. I think he wins by decision probably because he's just going to outstrike Andre Fili, who's very tough. But Andre Fili has been knocked out. He has been submitted before. So it could be, you know, it could be a stoppage loss, but I think probably Yusuf by decision in the fight of the night candidate. I think this is going to be a great fight. I just think Yusuf's going to be the better fighter, and I think at -130, there's good value there on him. So that's my pick. Next up, we have the biggest favorite on the card, Macy, the future Barber, against Roxanne Modafferi, the biggest underdog on the card right now. Barber -900, Roxy +600. Who's your pick?
We want Macy Barber, but there's no way I'm betting -900 on Macy Barber. Like, she's good. She should be able to beat Modafferi. Modafferi's tough. She's never been knocked out unless it was come by a slam. She's a durable person.
Yeah.
We've really never seen Macy go in those deep three, like the third round water. Like, if Modafferi can drag us to the third round, it's going to be interesting to see what Barber, what her cardio looks like, because she just gets rid of everyone in the first or second round. So, pick is Barber, but no way I'm betting Barber at -900.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to pick Barber too, but the odds are pretty crazy. You know, she's looked fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I think she is a future champion. I am that high on her. You know, I think she is one of the few fighters that could eventually compete with Valentina. Not right now. I don't think she's ready. She's only 21. She's very young. But I think maybe in a couple of years she could, you know, be competitive with the champ. But, you know, I've just been super impressed with her, Cole. She's got legitimate knockout power, and she's got the it factor as well. I am very high on Macy Barber. I think she's a fighter to watch out for in 2020. This could be the year she breaks into a superstar status. You know, but the odds are nuts because Modafferi, she's got 39 fights. And Barber's got 8. That's a huge difference, 39 fights. And Modafferi's been around forever. She's been fighting for almost 20 years, Cole. She's fought everyone. She's been in every promotion, Strikeforce, UFC, Invicta. And she's been a champion, too. So, you know, to me, she's a very dangerous fighter in this spot because, like you say, Cole, what happens if Barber can't get the early knockout? What happens if it goes to round 3? We've never seen Macy there. We've never really seen her get in trouble. Not only that, but Modafferi has pulled off upsets before. Look at the Shevchenko fight last year. I didn't think she'd win that fight. And she ended up taking Valentina down or Antonina down and grinding her out. Even the Barb Honchak fight, I didn't think she'd win that fight. She finished her. And even going back a few years, the Andrea Lee fight, you know, she beat her, and she was a big underdog in that fight. Now, a lot of people are making that comparison between Andrea Lee and Macy Barber. I think Macy Barber is just a much better fighter and always has been than Andrea Lee. But Andrea Lee was a highly touted prospect, and she lost that fight. So at -900, don't bet on this fight because it's just not enough value, you know, for the risk. So just pass on this one and watch it. I think Barber probably does get the win here. Maybe decision possibly a knockout. Maybe. It's hard to finish Modafferi, but, you know, it's just not worth the risk, Cole, because if she ends up getting upset, you're going to be pissed off that you put her in her parlay. All right, let's get to the main card, Cole. Love this matchup. I think this should have been the co-main event because I think this is one of the best fights in the card. I know you love this one too. Anthony Showtime Pettis against Diego Ferreira. Great fight. And right now we have Diego Ferreira -230, Pettis +190. Give me your pick, man.
I'm going Diego Ferreira here. I've been really high on Diego Ferreira. I'm just really high in fourth at the gym. And Pettis, I don't think Pettis should have moved back down to 55. He has a tough cut to 55. He was really happy at 170. Like, I've talked to him when he was fighting at 170. Like, there was no wake up for him. He was just walking around. He had good camps at 170. 155, a lot of his camp is just getting down the weight. And the problem with Diego, like, against Diego, he's not a known guy, so I'm surprised Pettis took this fight. It's Diego's 34. This is kind of his first and only shot at getting to the top of lightweight division. Because if he loses this, I doubt he's going to be able to get another shot at a known guy like this. And I think he's going to capitalize on this. I think he's going to be the pressure fighter. We saw him in his last fight. He was the pressure guy. He's not going to let Pettis set up his kicks. He's going to be in Pettis' face. I think he's going to frustrate Pettis. And I think he's just going to grind out a decision win just by being always coming forward and just frustrating Pettis.
Yeah, I like Ferreira too, man. You know, this guy is super impressive. He looked amazing in that last fight. with Taisimov just looked fantastic. The amount of strikes he threw and landed in that fight was incredible, especially against Taisimov, who I think is a really good fighter. You know, this guy is – I've always been high in Ferreira, you know, and I think he's really, like, just improved a lot. He is, crazy enough, you know, the older fighter, Cole, which I think will surprise a lot of people because he is 34. He's kind of a late bloomer a little bit. Pettis is only 32, but the difference is, Cole, look at the amount of damage Pettis has taken. Like, he's been hurt, and he's broken a lot of bones, and he's injured himself a lot in his fights. You know, the news that came out yesterday about him cutting his hand against Nate Diaz, and now he's suing USADA. I mean, I feel bad for him, Cole. That's not the reason he lost that fight. You know, that was just obviously not a good matchup for him. He got taken down and dominated. I don't see that happening here because I don't think the fight's going to go to the ground. You know, if it does go to the ground, I think Diego, you know, could be dangerous on the mat because he is there. He is dangerous there, but Pettis is as well. I think it's his standing most likely. I just feel like Ferreira's volume is going to be the difference, Cole. And you know, that camp, as we know, Fortis is just incredible. And I think Saif is going to really put together a great game plan here, Cole, and they're going to win this fight. So, you know, minus 230, I think maybe he's a little tad high, you know, because Pettis, because you got to show Pettis respect as a former champ. But I do think Ferreira wins this fight, Cole. My pick's Ferreira by decision. Prop on that, plus 125. You know, maybe that's the way to go here, possibly. I don't see him finishing Pettis. It's possible. What are you favoring, a decision?
Yeah, I favor a decision.
Me too. So we'll see what happens, but I do like Pettis. I do like Ferreira quite a bit in this fight.
Well, the only way I think it might be a stoppage, I think if Pettis breaks his hand again, that hand and foot he always breaks seems to end the fight now.
He's getting brittle, man. No doubt about it. You know, he's been around forever, Cole. You know, it's been 10 years since the Showtime kick. Like,
yeah,
he's been around a long time. He's,
and the thing is, too, if he breaks a bone, like Duke Rivas has stopped fights. Yeah, right? Pettis says, "Oh, my hand's broken." Duke weighs off. He's not letting his fighter go out there.
I'm okay with that, to be honest. As a fan, like, I'm okay with that. I know other fans are like, "Oh no, keep let them fight, dude." He's watching out for his fighter. Remember when he broke his hand against Tony?
Yeah,
stepped in through the towel, and some fans were like upset. Anthony was the first guy who was like, he's watching my back, man. I'm fine with it, you know. So I respect Duke Rufus. And, you know, again, though, you can't write off Anthony Pettis. Look at the Wonderboy fight last year, Cole, with that knockout. Like, don't completely write this guy off yet. He could pull off magic sometimes. What are you going to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just hoping when this fight got made, I was hoping I could get Diego as an underdog.
I know. The odds are this high. I'll be honest. Like,
I thought they'd be, even if Diego was a favorite, I thought it'd only be like 150 max. Yeah,
I'm with you. Minus 230, it's just, it does seem a little. A tad high. That's why I wouldn't, you know, go crazy on it, but I do think he probably wins. Anyways, women's strawweight bout next. Kind of an interesting fight between two fighters that, you know, been a little bit disappointing, I think, in the UFC. Claudia Gadea and Alexa Grasso. And right now, the current odds, you got Grasso as a slight favorite, minus 115, Gadea minus 105. Who's your pick?
This is the fight. I don't think it should be on the main card. Like, if you're going to put a woman, like, put Macy Barber Roxanne Modafferi on the main card. Yeah. Put Sadiq Yusuf, Andre Fila on the main card. Put Hack Prass if you're going to try to develop him. Like, I don't think this is going to be an exciting fight. Both these girls, they have mixed results. Like, they're so inconsistent. Grasso in her last one did not look good against Asparja. She almost had that submission. That was about the only thing going for her. And then she beat Carolina Kovacevic, which was a dominating performance. And she lost Tatiana Suarez. Claudia Gadea against Rihanna Marcus, one of the most, was a terrible fight at UFC 239. But I favor Claudia Gadea. I think she just used her wrestling. I think that's where Alexa Grasso struggles. She lost dominantly Tatiana Suarez and thought, oh, her wrestling's her weak point. And then she fought a bunch of strikers, had mixed results, and Esparza was kind of that next test for her wrestling, and she got taken down over and over again. I think if Gadea is smart, she'll just be able to wrestle Grasso and just hold down on the ground and get a decision win.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, they're both inconsistent, and I've actually been okay at picking their fights. You know, I got Grasso's fight with Carolina right last year, but you know, in the Esparza one. But you know, to me, Cole, like if it stays on the feet, I've got to favor Grasso slightly, but I think Gadea is going to fight smarter. She needs to get the win, Cole. She's you know, she's kind of risking falling out of the top 10 at this point. And I think she's going to be smart and use her wrestling. I think that's the best way to win. And I do think she's going to take down Grasso, who's got really poor wrestling skills, especially her takedown defense, Cole. And the problem with Grasso, once she's on the ground, Cole, she can't get back up either. So I think Gadea takes her down. You know, I'm a little surprised she's the underdog right now. I think it's just, you know, people are fading Gadea, and I can't blame them because she hasn't looked very good. But, you know, she is someone that people have liked for a long time, and she's fought better competition and beaten better competition in her career. My pick's Claudia Gadea to win decision, Cole. I think that she's going to use a wrestling win, and the prop on that plus 175, I mean, that's not bad, you know, because I think that's how she wins this fight. I don't see this fight being finished, Cole. I think it goes the distance. Next up, heavyweight bout, another fight that you kind of got to scratch your head and wonder why this is on the main card, but you got Alexi Aleena against Mo Green. I know there's going to be a knockout here probably, but still, like, it's kind of weird this is on the main card. Mo Green, -135. Alina, +115. Give me your pick.
I'm actually on the underdog, Alexi Olenek. I think he can take this fight down to the ground, Smith Maurice Green. Green from comes from a kickboxing background. He's a striker. I don't think he's that good on the ground. I think Olenek, I wouldn't be surprised if Olenek gets in close, pulls guard like he has all the time, and works for a choke. Once he's on the ground, I think Green is in a world of trouble. But I don't know if I'd even bet on this fight, even with Olenek as a plus money, just because his last two fights, it's taken one or two punches and he gets knocked out. So Green just needs to connect once. It's going to be an interesting fight, but I take the underdog of Olenek just because I think on the ground he's way better than what Green has the advantage in the striking realm.
This one's tough to pick, I think. It's your classic striker-grappler fight. Although Green has maybe some underrated grappling skills, but it's mostly a striker-grappler fight. Fight stays standing, Green's going to win. Goes to the ground, Olenek's going to win. I was initially leaning towards Olenek a little bit, but I kind of thought about it a bit more. Cole, I'm going to lean towards Green a little bit just because I don't think Olenek can take a punch anymore. You know, he's getting really old. He's 42 years old, Cole, and he's had, 71 fights. That's a lot of damage. You know, he's been getting knocked out, like you said, Cole, with a couple punches lately. He has an amazing ground game. His Ezekiel choke and his neck cranks and rear naked. He's just incredible on the ground. But, that chain worries the hell out of me. Mo Green has been a little inconsistent in the UFC. He got knocked out in his last fight, too. So, don't be surprised if he got caught here. Because Olenek has knocked people out before, but I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards Green by knockout. There's just no way in hell I bet on this fight. Do not bet on this fight. This fight can go either way. It's just a huge coin flip. There's no value on either guy here. Next up, co-main event, Holly Holm against Raquel Pennington 2. First fight saw Holm win a split decision, and now we have the rematch. Holm -140, Pennington +120. Give me your pick.
This is a rematch I don't really want. I don't know why. After this fight got booked in October, I'm like, sure, I'll take it, whatever. And then after it fell off, I'm like, perfect, they can go their separate ways. Like, why not use Holm to try to build up a young up-and-comer? Like, if Macy Shea on one or last fight, you could have done that. I know she lost, but, like, use it to build up. Holm still has a big name. Use it to try to build up a young prospect. That Aspen Ladd fight that was rumored last year, that was kind of perfect for Holm. It's just such a – and I don't even know why this is the co-main event. Like, I don't even think this – and this and the heavyweight or day of the fight are probably the two worst on the main card. But Holm still has that big name just because of a Rousey knockout. I think this fight is just going to stay standing. And I think Holm is the better striker. I think she'll just use her kickboxing and just outpoint Raquel Pennington.
That's pretty much how I see it, Cole. Just kind of the same as the first fight. But I don't know. Like, Holm is, she's just not the same fighter she used to be, So it's kind of risky, in my opinion, to bet on this fight. I know that our boy Marcus Williams, he loves Holm in this spot. And I do favor her, Cole. I don't know. There's something about this fight that worries me. Don't know what it is. I just think Holm is not the same fighter she once was. I think Pennington, she is – I've never been a fan of Raquel Pennington. I don't think she's a great fighter by any means, but she's pulled off fights where we thought she was going to lose. Look at her last fight. She beat Aldana, Cole. A lot of people were saying is the next contender. And she won a split decision. It was a close fight, but she ended up grinding it out and winning. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened here. My pick is going to be Holly Holm by decision because I do think she's a better fighter, better striker. I think it comes down to the striking. But, the first fight was super close. This fight could be close too. And, if you're betting on Holm and Payne pulls it off, you're going to be upset. So Holly Holm by decision, but I'm worried. I'm a little worried about this one. I think there's better bets on the undercard like Yusuf at the same price, in my opinion. So we'll see. Time for the main event. Conor McGregor makes his long-awaited return to the octagon against Donald Cerrone. And right now we have Conor McGregor as a -330 favorite and Cowboy +270. Give me your pick.
I'm going Conor McGregor, and I'm going by knockout in the first, second round. I know Cerrone has better chin at welterweight. He's only been knocked at welterweight by lately to just Till and Masvidal. But Cerrone's always struggled with a big fight, and he's always struggled against southpaws. And I think that's where he's going to have problems against McGregor. He's that kind of guy that just needs one punch. And I think Cowboy, I don't think he's going to shoot. I think he has advantage in the wrestling realm. But the same time is McGregor stuffed Chad Mendes' takedowns. And I'd probably say Mendes is probably better wrestling than what Cerrone is. I know Cerrone's a taller guy, more weight, can put more behind the shots. But I think McGregor can keep this fight standing. And I think on the standing, I think he just needs one punch. He'll put Cerrone down and win by TKO via ground and pound strikes. But I think McGregor wins. It's probably in the first, second round.
Yeah, I like McGregor here too. There's an argument to be made for Cerrone. And again, I know Marcus likes Cerrone. I'm not sure if he's in the chat today, but he's been messaging me and telling me he likes Cerrone. And my buddy Aaron at TSN loves Cerrone too. And, you know, and they think the difference is the leg kicks and the ground game. And I can see that, Cole. But to me, like, the number one flaw of Cerrone is his chin and his ability to take punishment. He just can't do it. And not only that, Cole, but he's a slow starter, man. He's a really slow starter. We've seen a lot of fights where he just gets kind of bull rushed and finished. And McGregor's a fast starter. I like McGregor too by knockout, Cole. I think he does it probably in the first or second round like you. I'm pretty much on the same page with you in this one. You know, I'm looking at the props. There's no value, though. McGregor by knockout, minus 210. Like, the money line is minus 330. So, you know, I think if anything, go with McGregor. But again, you know, he has lost fights before. We saw him lose against Nate Diaz, especially at 170. You never know. That does make it a little bit more interesting. But I don't want to overthink this one, Cole. I just think McGregor's knockout power is going to be the difference here. The layoff obviously worries me. You know, since his last fight, Cerrone's fought five times. Five times, Cole. That's a big difference. But at the end of the day, I just think that power in McGregor's hands and that thunder, that's a difference here. And I think he does put Cerrone's lights out, or hurts him to the body possibly too, and puts him out with body shots. So my pick's McGregor by TKO. So I think that's it for the card, Cole. Fights we disagreed on, obviously, were the Olenek and Green fight, and going down to the prelims, the Mazo Aldrich rank. I think we had the same picks for the other fights. So we'll see what happens. But you'll be in the UFC or the MMA Oddsbreaker picks challenge this year. So we'll see how you stack up, Cole. You know, you're always talking crap, saying how good you are at picking fights. So let's see what happens there. Anyways, that's it. Any other lasting thoughts on UFC 246?
I just think this whole thing is, if McGregor loses, like, yeah. Let's just get into that chat. What happens? Where does McGregor go if he loses?
Nate Diaz trilogy, and that's the only fight I think that makes sense.
I think that's the exact same way. Like, I think if he loses, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he loses. He just says, all right, I'm done. Like,
yeah, I could see, or I don't want to talk about it, but, you know, he did mention Manny Pacquiao in boxing. I mean, that's, yeah, but don't be surprised, Cole. Do not be surprised if that happens. You know, I do think there's some smoke to that fire right there, or the fire to the smoke. You know, I feel like Dana's going to sign Manny or Floyd or one or either guy, maybe both of them or someone. And Conor's probably going to fight them. Masvidal could fight one of them. Who knows? I've got a question here, Cole. Kevin Scott, I feel like the lack of buzz for this card is, one, due to Conor's lost a ton of former fans due to his criminal activity and tired shtick. And two, this card is really terrible from top to bottom. Okay, so number one, I agree completely with you, Kevin. You know, the bad boy thing is it's cool, but when you're, you know, talking about like sexual assault allegations, it's not cool. You know, so like the bus attack thing, that was awful. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like you might have even gained some fans from that. The cell phone thing, I thought people thought, you know, that was kind of cool too, even though it was bad. But the sexual assault allegations, man, like that stuff, no one likes that stuff. So I feel like ever since that came out, Cole, like his stock has taken a hit. And actually, I'll ask you a question. What do you think of the interview Ariel did yesterday with the questions he was asking? I feel like he could have asked a little tougher questions. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he only brought up the allegations once. He didn't even say what the allegations were. So, like, if you're just a casual fan watching, you're like, "Wow, I wonder what those are." You could have he could have said New York Times brought you up twice, and you're involved with sexual assault allegations. Like, what do you say about that? You just said you obviously deny the sexual assault allegations. Like, you just set him up perfectly. Say, "Yeah, I deny it." Like, I know he's obviously going to deny it, but you could have asked it in a better way. You could have asked it like, to share your audience like what these allegations are and how serious they actually are.
I'm with you. You know, I respect Ariel because honestly, he's the best guy in this business and he has been for a while. And he gets better access than any of us. I just think he could ask some tougher questions, Cole. And I think some fans and media were critical of him. You know, you kind of beat around the bush. But again, you know, he doesn't want to lose his access to the corner. I get it. But at the same time, you know, you get that access. I think you could have used it in a better manner, just my opinion. But anyways, getting back to what Kevin said. Yeah, Kevin, I agree with you, man. I do think, you know, that stuff plays a part. But again, for me, the number one reason is he hasn't won a fight since 2016. You know, you got to win fights, Cole. You got to win fights. You have to win. Anyways, and the second part of his thing is, I think you mentioned this last week, Kevin, the card is brutally terrible. I don't completely agree with that, Kevin. I think Cole and me both talked about that last time you threw the question out there. I think it's a, you know, decent card. It's a top heavy card. It's a one fight card. I mean, let's be honest here, but there are some other fights, you know, for hardcore fans like us, like, that are interesting, like Ferreira Pettis and, you know, Barber's return and Yusuf Fleely, Pac Press. Like, there's some prospects on this card to watch out for. So I wouldn't say it's a terrible card, but I will say the co-main event's a pretty terrible co-main event. That fight should not be the co-main event. Like, come on. Holm versus – no one – who wants to watch that fight? I mean, did you see anyone out there saying, I really want to see a rematch between Holly Holm and Raquel Pennington? Did you, Cole?
Oh.
Anyways, you want to talk about some news and stuff?
Yep.
Okay, so let me ask you about this. I want to hear your opinion. Paul Daly, let's go to Bellator here, got fired by Bellator for criticizing the matchmaking, apparently. That's what he says. So he was critical of Michael Page's matchmaking, and he's lost his job as a television analyst for the European series. Give me your thoughts, man.
Yeah, it's interesting because I agree with what Paulie said. Like, Michael Page is not going to get opponents, and they're hand-picking opponents for him to look good. And, like, they should have given him Daly again. They should have given him Kreshkov. They should have given him, like, Larkin. Like, they should give him the top guys. Like, no way Lorenz Larkin can be like, I want to fight this guy that's 3-1 as a pro. Bellator's not going to let it happen. Like, no way Paul Daly can say, I want to fight this guy that's 2-0 as a pro. Like, let me fight this guy because I know I can get a good knockout. Like, and I'm not surprised they fired him, but I think that's kind of interesting. Like, I think Bellator and Paul Daly aren't getting along, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see Paul Daly get released and have to go somewhere else.
You know, it's hard to say because he just said, like, a month or two ago that he's not going to fight in the U.S. again, so his only options are in Europe, unless he changes his mind, which he could. UFC is not going to take him back, unfortunately, because, you know, the Koscheck thing was 10 years ago. I don't know. I feel like, you know, he could maybe make amends with Dana and bring him back, but I feel like the ship's kind of passed on that, unfortunately. Because, you know, at the time, Cole, I know you were just a little kid in your diapers back then, but, you know, he was – just kidding, man. You know, he was actually one of the better welterweights. He had a lot of knockout power. And he was exciting, but he punched Koscheck after the bell. Dana White didn't like it. I just feel like fighters have did so much worse stuff than that, and they get kept around. It's crazy. So inconsistent. But, yeah, you know, Cole, if he changes his mind on fighting the U.S., how about Paul Daly in the PFL welterweight tournament? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, that'd be good.
And he could beat Ray Cooper because he could
fight Rory McDonald again. Like,
yeah, Rory again and possibly
that's win. What PFL needs. PFL needs these big names that people want to see fight.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I could see him asking for his release after this. You know, why would he want to fight for Bellator now? You know, and not only that, Cole, but he's not wrong. He's not wrong. I agree with everything he said about Page's matchmaking. The matchmaking is awful. I know you liked his last fight. I was bored to tears, man. I don't need to see him beat up Shinzo Hanzo. I knew he was going to win the fight. Why didn't Larkin fight him? They were on the same card. Why did they have two mismatches? Why didn't they just do Larkin Page? Fans would have been like, wow, you actually respect Bellator now. Instead, they're like, who wants to watch these two mismatches? Like, two guys that got destroyed in their fights, Nakamura and Anzai. You could have done Nakamura versus Anzai, and you could have done Larkin Page. But for some reason, they keep wanting to build Page up. And by the way, Cole, he's not young anymore. I was looking at his age yesterday. I think he's like 32 or 33 now. How old is he? Let me take a look here. He is 32, and he's turning 33 in April. And he's still fighting guys that are not even in close to his level. You know what? Let's continue on the Michael Page thing. Because it seems like he's a really hot rod right now of criticism, lightning rod. Big John McCarthy doubled down his comments. And Jimmy Smith actually called him out, saying it was ridiculous. And basically, Jimmy's argument was, you know, and getting back to Big John, he said that if you compare Anderson Silva's first 18 fights to Michael Page's, they're very similar. If not, Page has fought better competition, which is insane. Because if you look at Anderson, who's fought well, there's multiple like former champs and Hall of Famers.
Page has fought two good guys in
Daly and Douglas Lima. He lost to one of them. And I know that Anderson's first 18 fights, he did lose three times. I get that, but he fought better competition. Look at some of the fighters he fought well, like Carlos Newton, you know, Hayato Max Sakurai. These guys are like legends on the sport, man. Anyways, Jimmy Smith's argument was Anderson was the number one ranked welterweight in the world. He beat Sakurai, which is the truth. Page has never been number one ranked. He's actually never – I don't think he's ever been in the top like 20 or 25. Maybe when he beat Paul Daly, he was ranked in the top 25. I'm not sure, but I can't believe Big John – you know, I know he works for Bellator. I get it, but I can't believe he doubled down his argument. I really like his podcast with Josh Thompson, Cole. It's a good podcast. I feel like fans kind of lost respect for Big John McCarthy after these comments. What do you think?
Yeah, like – I think a lot of people went to Big John because he was supposed to be this, like, he obviously is a big name in the sport. The, like, he was the ref. Like, if you have a big fight, like, Big John was the ref.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be this guy that knew everyone. He was playing, like, he was a straight shooter. And now since he's gone to Bellator, he's just been so Bellator heavy. Like, oh, Bellator's the best. Bellator's this. Like, all Bellator fighters are the best. They're the whatever. Like, this Paige Silva thing, you could have just said on the broadcast ad hype. But why double down on it? Like, tell Josh Thompson, don't bring it up. We're just going to try to forget about this. We're not going to talk about this again. Because if he didn't double down, like, people would just forgot about it. Yeah. And now we're still talking about it. Like, there's no way Michael Page fought better guys than Anderson Silva in their first 18, 16 fights.
I agree 100%, man. It's crazy. Anyways, let's move on from this one. I didn't mention this earlier, but the whole Pettis breaking his or cutting his hand on the broken glass thing. What do you think of that?
That's interesting. I don't think that's why he lost the fight, but I don't know what they can do to sue USADA. Like, I don't know how good of a case they'd have for cutting your hand on a bottle. Like, because I think USADA could just be like, oh, you didn't put it on properly. Like, that's your fault. Like, I don't really know how it cut him, but like, it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of people are going at USADA. So it's going to be interesting because so many fighters, you saw Julian Payne complain about USADA. So many fighters complain about USADA. Like, I don't know what the UFC does to them. I think he needs drug testing, but USADA punishes, like, they act like they're the be all and end all, and they just do whatever they want, it feels like.
Yeah, I'm with you. By the way, Jessica Penny, she's also, I think, suing USADA as well. Like, she's doing a GoFundMe right now. I mean, she's 36 years old, Cole. Like, at this point, I feel like she needs to just kind of move on. Unfortunately, it is sad what's happened to her, but at the same time, Cole, you know, she's tested positive a couple times now. I believe her in that she didn't take anything knowingly, but, you know, these things are showing up in her test, and now she's facing 4-year suspension. 36 years old, Cole, 1-3 record in the UFC. Don't you think it's time to look past the fighting career and maybe, you know, move on to the next part of her career? Or do you think she's right in chasing the legal action instead?
I'd chase legal action, but I'd get ready to.
It's expensive.
Something else.
It's expensive, Cole. $25,000, $30,000. She's saying, well, it's not cheap, buddy.
That's what I mean. Like, she has the money. Like, sure. if they raise the money, go for it. But, I mean, USADA can spend on the top lawyers. They can do the top thing.
They
get thrown out of court anyways.
I'm with you. I just can't see anyone. I can't see these fighters really beating USADA in a court battle. You know, I could be wrong, but they have so much money and their lawyers are, like, really top-notch. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, it is sad what happened to Jessica. I mean, you know, she kind of had an unfair shake. Kind of the same thing happened to Sean Valley. The difference is Sean's only 25. You know, Jessica's 36. That's a big difference. You excited to see Sean back, by the way?
Yeah, it should be interesting. 248 card is looking really good now.
Yeah. I don't think the have you talked to anyone about the Romero fight? Any?
Nothing? No, I just.
You know, it's crazy how that hasn't been officially booked, but, you know, every time Romero and Adesanya talk, they say that that's going to happen. What about this fight? Demetrius Johnson taking on Adrian Marias. I think a lot of people were surprised when Demetrius.
Yeah, everyone thought he was the champ already.
Huh?
Everyone thought, like, he just went to one championship, and they're just like, here's the belt, take it.
I obviously
favor DJ to win this belt. Like, he's dominated in one championship. He's going to have another dominant title defense run. If he loses this fight, this has to be one of the biggest upsets, like, in recent memory in a long time.
Oh, he's one of the biggest ever, I think. He's going to be a big favorite. Dylan Danis, he won't be at UFC 246. Any thoughts on that? Also, he says he has a stake of ownership in Bellator. Any thoughts on that?
I just think McGregor is going to go pay his fine, $8,000. He'll be able to corner. Danis talks a lot. It is interesting how Scott Coker always says, oh, it's my business partner, Dylan Danis. He doesn't do that for anyone else. That's his whole point. And Danis, like, I listened to that interview. He makes a lot of valid points, but it's just, like, so hard to believe. He's like, what other guy gets to choose their weight class? Like, he's like, I'm not fighting other people because I'm going to make my own weight class. This is his third fight. All of them have been 175. Like, he is creating this 175-pound division. He can be the catchweight champion in Bellator, but, like, no way he has an ownership stake. Like, that, if it is, it's probably, like, 2%.
I just find it hard to care about this dude, honestly. He's just...
He fights once a year
is literally guys that no one's ever heard of. Like, they get them out, they pull these guys with losing records from Shamrock.
I haven't heard of any of his three opponents.
The guy's a joke, honestly.
You have so many guys calling him out that aren't top guys in Bellator, welterweight, or middleweight. So many guys are calling him out, like, oh, we can do a catchweight. Like, lower level guys in Bellator. Why not do those fights? Like, see what he's made of.
It's crazy that you even got to talk about him because he's such a troll. Anyways, let's go to some fight announcements. Well, I have talked about these the last few days. Just give me your quick thoughts. Don't go too long on these. But Andrade and Rose 2, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it should be a good fight. I'm surprised they did this fight. It's kind of interesting. I didn't think they'd do the rematch. I thought the only way they'd do the rematch is the immediate rematch for the title. Now they're both not champs, I didn't think it was going to happen. But it's a close fight. I'll probably favor Rose though, when it comes around. But I wouldn't be surprised if Andrade got another knockout win.
Well, Pena and Ladd.
that has to be the number one contender fight. I wonder what happens to Arvydo Dalla then, because
she's got more wins. I mean, she has the one win over Vieira, which is good, but she lost to Paige before that, Cole. You know, two fights before that.
Why wouldn't they do Aldana Holm or something? Like, trying to do that instead of a super rematch.
Aldana, the winner of, well, I guess Payne is fodder. Maybe they could do a rematch, I guess. I don't know. What do you think of this fight? Your boy Gilbert Burns against Maia.
Yeah, it should be an interesting fight. It's definitely fight. Two of the top grapplers of the welterweight division. Like, I think striking-wise, Gilbert's a way better striker. His cardio, I think, is better. But on the ground, I'd have to favor Maia. But I don't know if Maia would be able to submit him. I don't think either of them will be able to submit him, so... It's definitely an interesting fight, but that's the co-main, like the main event. Like, there's been nothing. The card's coming up.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. And the last one, just quick thoughts. Ben Rothwell against John Volante. Wow.
Why is this happening? There's my thoughts. Like, what a John Volante. Why is going up to heavyweight for like?
Yeah.
And why is this fight happening?
Too, like, not even a small dude by any means. Very strange fight call. I don't know. Let's get to some questions here. Kenshiro Rear Dojo, always appreciate your questions, man. Jessica Penny should be chasing a hardworking beta male who will pay for upkeep and lifestyle. Okay. The best bet to make on UFC 246 is Roxanne Modafferi at plus 650. If you're a real money parlay player, Roxanne Pettis and Connor Yummy Goodness. I mean, listen, like, I don't think it's that crazy, you know, to make place a small bet on Roxy at those odds, but, you know, I don't think she wins Rear Dojo, but. Again, the odds are lopsided for no reason, really. And he says Barbara's untested, hasn't fought anyone who could test her. She will get texted to Roxanne on Saturday night. Possible for sure. Anything else, Cole, you want to talk about? I mean, there's got to be something else if you want. Anything you want.
I know you touched on it this morning, but what do you think of McGregor saying he's making $80 million? Highly doubt he's making $80
million. I think so. Why would he lie about it? There's no point. The guy's really freaking rich. I mean, why would he lie?
I don't know. Just the bloody Elbow thing. They just said when he said he made $50 million against Khabib, they did a deep dive. And they just said the numbers don't add up at all. Like, you're going to see what his base salary is from Vegas. I know he's going to get pay-per-view points.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish ESPN Plus said how much pay-per-view is, because that would make it so much easier to find out. Like,
and I doubt they're selling as many as they used to. But
no, like, I wish it was out so we could see. Like, just everyone said, oh, like, over a million is good. Like, that's what I did. Connor fight, they'd be like, oh, a million to two. But on ESPN Plus, like, I don't know if, like, what's the goal? Like, is it 500,000 for them? Is it, like...
Just remember, there's guaranteed money that they gave in the deal. So the UFC is going to make money either way. So I guess Conor's part of that. You know, like I said in the podcast this morning, Conor's getting paid way under the table that none of us know about. Dana White's slipping him money. None of us know about. They're wiring it to his offshore bank accounts. They're paying him that we don't even know about, Cole. They're throwing him stacks of cash that will never be disclosed. So just keep that in mind, Cole. And that's gone for all of his fights. You know, I really want to mention this, but on the Reddit MMA forum, some god-awful website posted some horrible, like, it was just an unsourced article saying McGregor will make, like, I think it said $5 million for this thing. And they got upvoted like crazy, and people were like, oh, that's crazy, that's crazy. Like, they didn't even have a source, you know? I you know, so you got that, an unsourced, and then you got McGregor, the source himself, saying 80. You know, there's the two extremes, Cole. It's probably somewhere in the middle, but I lean towards McGregor. I mean,
maybe, oh, I think it's in the tens of millions of dollars.
So I think it's more, man. Why would he come back? And he's not, I think it's, look at the Floyd fight. Look how much we got paid for that. Look at the Habib fight. You got paid a lot for that too, Cole. You know, so we'll see. I mean, they'll Rodeo Dojo, Conor said $8 million to MMA media to talk about it and succeeds in hyping up his fight. I mean, it's possible for sure. But again, the guy made, I think it was $100 million for the Floyd fight, right? Like, I'm pretty sure you got that. Yeah. Something like that. So, we'll see. Anything else, Cole? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's everything we got.
All right, cool, buddy. All right, plug your stuff.
Just Twitter, at ColeShell91. This week I talked to Diego Ferreira, Alex Olenek, Maurice Green. That's all on BJPen, Fighter Picks. Everything else is going to be on my social media.
Awesome. You guys can check me on Twitter, at MMAdamMartin, and the podcast, as always, MMAoddsBreaker.com, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, all those places. You guys can also check me out at bjpen.com. Do a lot of my writing there these days. And MMAraise.net, got an article coming out, I think, today on Connor and UFC 246. So definitely check that out.
One other thing, too. Well, I forgot to say, when I spoke to Modafferi, this would have been interesting. She said Barber was originally offered to Joanne Calderwood.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Like, I think that's the next fight then, if Barber wins.
That's a tough fight, too. She's got to win this one. We'll see what happens. And last comments here from Ryu Doju. Connor loves and is good at blowing up the fight numbers and pay numbers increase. Talk about media. You think Connor's toast, but he's still the red. True, man. True.
He's the biggest draw in the sport.
He is. By the way, guys, if you're in Vegas, make sure you get one of those Don Cerrone Budweiser cans. Those things look awesome and they look delicious too. So definitely get one of those. All right, guys. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'll be back tomorrow morning for the regular show. And Cole will be back next week. We'll be breaking out UFC Raleigh. Cole, we got like 8 straight weeks of fights, man. So I hope you got your rest, buddy. All right, guys, have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.